All right. I guess as I do every week, our fourth captain this week will be Kaluka Maeva, and another good choice. Been a steady performer, obviously, on special teams around here for a long time. Then he's added to that some outstanding play, in my opinion, this year at linebacker. So another good choice. And preparation, been good so far. Got it all started. Got all our efforts pointed toward getting on a plane, going to Denver, and playing the Broncos. So I'll take your questions. No. I'm not going to talk about the whys or what for us there. I will say this, though. I'm happy for him that he's going to be able to finish out the year in Miami. That'll be great for him.
The seasons that Joe Thomas and Mitchell Schwartz have had at your tackle spots, and then the challenges they face this week with a couple of pass rushers at the Broncos.
Yeah, no, I think Joe and Mitchell have played this, you know, steady and well this year. Obviously, two guys that are at different stages of their career. Guy that's been a Pro Bowl player for a very long time, and then another guy that's a rookie, emerging player. So they've both done a good job. Been part of a pretty consistent unit for us. And then the challenge this week, of course, with Miller and Doomerville, both guys are getting production. It's going to be a big challenge. I mean, we've got to block those guys so they don't wreck the game. And so our guys know the challenge, and we just got to go do it.
I know Dick's, you know, running the defense and that, but with your help in there, what do you tell the defensive players and the coaches about facing a Peyton Manning and how different it
yeah.
is than everybody else?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that in this league, as a quarterback, you know, Peyton Manning is rare air. I mean, he's established himself as one of the great players at quarterback, especially of our era of all time. So, and his style now, you're starting to see his style of play and the style of offense in Denver like he had played all those years in Indy. So I think what's important is that we've got to put together a plan. We have to go play fast. We have to go play aggressive. And it's important that we do what we do and not – we really can't try to let whoever's playing quarterback try to put us on our heels. We've got to be aggressive. And I think that's important. We do know that he tries to change things and make sure he's not snapping the ball into a bad defense. And so we're aware of that. And we got to do what we can to stay aggressive, disguise some things, and play hard.
Can you talk about how well T.J. Ward was playing before you had to
come in? Yeah, well, T.J.'s done a nice job. You know, it's unfortunate we had to put him on IR. Fortunately, he didn't require surgery. It's just going to take a little bit of time. And, yeah, he was doing a nice job and an interception in the last game. And we'll move on, play other guys.
He kind of stepped his game up this year to the point where he was making those big impact plays, forcing fumbles, big hits.
Yeah, he's done a good job. Got production, of course, with the turnovers, and then he did a good job of tackling. In base, we're going to play a lot of nickel, you know, as we go, but we'll move the other guys up. You know, LJ, we'll move up. Yeah.
I know you like Gibson. How do you feel about his long-term prospects as an every down free safety?
Well, he's going to get his chance, you know, and we feel good about it. He's a good athlete. He's been very productive. He's one of a large number of rookies that's gone on there and gone in and played. And his role each week has been a little bit different. Some weeks larger than others, and he's going to get a real good look this week, of course.
Pat, Penn Richardson keeps telling us that he's not close to 100% for that rib injury. Is there any thought about shutting him down in all these last couple of weeks just so he can heal better?
No. No thoughts. He'll play. None of us are 100% right now. I think that's fair to say. At this time of year, you know, guys are playing through things. And if it gets to the point where you're injured and you can't play, like JMJ and TJ Ward, then we – but if you're nicked, you play. That's a pretty neat hat, by the way. Is that new? The hat?
You like that?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I just, yeah, it's just unique for this crowd. That's all, I guess. Did you? Okay, good.
With Brandon Weeden in these last two games, what are you hoping to see out of him in the last two games? They say after 14 games, you're really not a rookie anymore. So what are your expectations for Brandon in these final two games?
I want him to play consistent winning football. This is like English class. I'm trying to do it in 10 words or less. Right?
Guys, maybe you're ready to head to the golf course. I mean, is this a
more
difficult way to challenge you guys?
No, we had that conversation this morning as we moved the team forward. And I reminded the players, coaching and playing is what we do. And at some point, somebody somewhere is going to tell them they can't do it anymore, and they're going to miss it. And I said, what we owe ourselves and each other is that you prepare as well as you can, you get hydrated, you get on the plane, go out there and play good football and try to win the football game. And that's what we all owe each other. And that's what we do.
Do you do anything different in practice because Pete does all the audibles and the stuff at the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, we'll try to mock it up as much as we can. There are times when what he's doing is he's audibling. There are times when some of what he's doing is theatrics. You know, that's just part of what he does. And it's important that we prepare for the plays that we think he's going to run or they're going to run. And as I mentioned, try to do what we do and then also disguise some things, try to cross them up. So, again, that's what we'll practice are all those things.
Anyway, anyone can get a read on which of that, what part of what he's doing is real and what's total BS?
Well, yeah, we kind of know. You know, you kind of know what's happening. For instance, we line up in a two-deep shell, all right, it's first or second down, and they recognize it. Typically, a run play works better. Or if we line up where we're all up in there, you know, where the run play might not be so good, he might be going. So you kind of know a little bit. And then there are times when what he's doing could be a dummy audible. We do the same thing. Everybody does it to some degree. It's a part of what we all do. And just try, you know, in their system, they just try to snap the ball into a good defense, you know, or a defense where the run or the pass is favorable. Then I'm sure they've got other plays that are just run it plays, like we all do.
Yeah, I know, of course, you wanted to win these last two. But do you have to do that to show that you've made progress this year?
My focus is on Denver, right, and getting this team ready to play Denver. Beyond that, I'm not concerned.
Go back to consistent winning football and ask you to elaborate specifically on Brandon and what that entails.
Well, you need to get completions. You need to execute well. Got to make sure we do everything in the run game right. And we got to get the team in the end zone. So you want to be efficient and explosive and play good quarterback.
I know Sean Moreno is for more than 100 yards in the past couple of weeks after being inactive.
Sure.
What have you noticed from him and what do you think is working?
Yeah, I remember him quite well when he came out of college because we evaluated him when I was at the Rams. He's a very good running back, and he fits well in their scheme. He's a good runner from the shotgun, and he has a feel for finding a hole, and then he can break a tackle, you know. And so I think he's been a good fit for them, really good fit for them. And, again, I think there's times when they run the ball into a favorable defense to run the football, and he's done a good job. They do a good job up front blocking for him as well, I think. Let's remember that the Denver Broncos were a playoff team a year ago, and they added a quarterback, you know, which has kind of helped them kind of take it to the next level in terms of who they are. And so it's going to be a big challenge for us. But I really do believe we can beat anybody we play. But we've also proven that if we make mistakes and don't overcome them, you can get beat by anybody you play. And so that's the thing to remember.
Just in terms of what he's been able to do this season, considering he's 36, he's coming off four neck surgeries and he missed all of last season, do you think that, is it almost like he's exceeded expectations to do what he's doing this season coming off all that?
I don't know that. I mean, we're facing the Broncos in a one-game deal here. And he's obviously proven that he's healthy enough to play winning football. And so I think the sky's the limit for anybody that's playing, and he's proved it over a long period of time, and he's having another good year.
Corey in Denver today talking about how the Broncos were interested in Brandon Whedon, and they kind of used him to conceal their stuff with Peyton, but they did intend to draft him. At some point, were they a team that you guys were onto? Is that why you guys used the first round pick rather than wait? Did you that second round pick on Whedon?
No, we were fairly. We were aware of the fact that the Broncos liked Whedon. You know, we were. You know, we had a decent idea what teams liked Whedon. You know, I don't know if where we picked them was to prevent him from going to Denver. You know, I don't think that was an issue. I don't know. I mean, we had a draft strategy. We picked our players, and that's how it worked out.
Is there anything unique about him other than the fact that he's unblockable?
Well, he's got unique skill and ability, and he's got an outstanding feel for the game. That was obvious watching him play at Texas A&M, you know, and I knew his college coach at the time very well, you know, Mike Sherman, and so we talked a lot about it. But he was such a dominant force in college. It was no mystery to me that he was going to be a good player in this league, and he's fit well in their scheme. They use him extremely well as a pass rusher, and then he drops back in coverage. He intercepts footballs, and he tackles the runner. So I don't see any reason why he's not going to be an outstanding player for a long time. Everything I just said, I mean, he's very worthy of where he was chosen. He's an outstanding talent, and it's no mystery to me he was picked that high. And, you know, along the way, we were fairly certain. We kind of had an idea that might be a place he'd go.
How does a guy? I don't know how many sacks he had at Texas A&M, but I mean, how do you go from playing Texas A&M to having 20 sacks in the later 16 and 14 games? I mean, what's the difference there?
Well, I think we kind of knew he had that skill and ability. It's, you know, he's the same way, Alden Smith. I mean, there's great players in college that it translates well to this league. And, you know, he had that skill and ability. And so when it happens quickly for a guy like that, it comes as no surprise. You know, I think it's fair to say that at some positions on the field, it's a little bit, you can get going up and running a little bit quicker than others. And he's an outstanding player and a smart, instinctive football player, and they're doing the right things with him.
With their defense, do they like to substitute a lot, depending on just on down and distance, or are they trying to keep pretty much everybody out there? And what I'm getting with is, might you, because of that, want to try and keep them on the field if you go no huddle with Brandon at some point in the middle of the game?
Well, yeah, I mean, the new rules are that if we substitute, of course, then they do. But, you know, if we leave certain people on the field, they play with certain people. If we substitute, they substitute. That's no different than any team we play in terms of, If we put three receivers out there, they go nickel. If we play with two tight ends or a tight end and a fullback, they'll stay base. So there's always a little bit of an effect on the defense if you choose to do that. But to say that you're doing it so they don't substitute, this isn't necessarily one of those teams. I know very little about him. Joe and I visited yesterday before the announcement came out. You know, and that's a business move. You know, as you might expect, I'm kind of wrapped up on the football side of it right now. So, but I know who he is and what he's all about and what he's done in Dallas. And you know, we're excited that he's here.